slow, kind of sad song, and I find myself, as of recently, to be relatively emotional. Just when I watch, like, previews for movies like Star Wars and stuff like that. And so I couldn't get up here and be a sobbing mess because I'm an ugly crier. It can't start off that way. Not a good way to start off. So I had him put some happy music to it, and I think it went very, very well. Core Love does amazing things. You guys, just so you know, the footage that you saw was actual footage from the orphanages that they run in Haiti. This isn't stock footage. These are the real kids that they come in contact with. And they do it all through charitable donations. And the thing about charitable donations is it's hard because you're dependent upon the compassion of people. And sometimes in a world that we live in, compassion of people is kind of hard to find every once in a while. And so, but they do a really great job. I think they do something like 36 mission trips a year to Haiti. They bring different church members down so they can get involved, get their hands dirty. It's not just sitting down playing with kids. You build an orphanage, you plant fields, you do things like that. And so I encourage you guys, if you guys go out there in the lobby to visit that table and hear their heart, because it's an amazing thing. In fact, if you give anything in the month of November, they are matched dollar to dollar. So if you give $5, someone else is giving $5. So your gift will be doubled in the month of November if you are able to give. And so go out there. There's all kind of information out there, guys, and you guys need to see it. It's an amazing thing that they're doing. The praise and worship team was shamelessly promoting their T-shirts. And so if you saw them up there, I mean, they have great T-shirts, great products, but the great products only are represented of their amazing heart they have for people. And so let's give them a hand clap. They are doing awesome things. And thank you for coming out here. And so they're out here because this month is National Adoption Month. And so I'm here, and I am not Pastor Todd. I am Pastor Tom. We look different. You can tell me later who you think looks better or not, but I will pay you if you tell him that I look better with his money. I didn't know that he was not going. He asked me to speak because it's adoption. He's like, "Hey, it's a National Adoption Month, so you speak because you're adopted." And I was like, "Awesome! I love being adopted and talking about it. It's my favorite thing in the whole world." So I get to get up here and speak. And so I thought he was out of town, but in fact, he's here. He's literally right in front of me, right here, with a notepad and paper. And so I don't know if this is like an annual review of performance or what that is. So next week I may not be here, but thank you for your love and support. And you can make checks out too. He's very gracious, and so I love every opportunity I have to come and talk to you guys. You guys are like my family. That's probably why. Anyway, so it's Adoption Month, and I want it. And when we see the things like this, and we hear the different stats, and there's different things. And I Googled foster kids in America today. I saw a number up there that was 400 something thousand kids that are in foster families. That's how many kids need families and stuff like that. And so when we see things like that, a lot of times, like, it pulls on our heartstrings, doesn't it? Like, we see these things and we hear these numbers and these statistics and things like that. And a lot of times it pulls on the compassion inside of us to do something. But we don't execute on that compassion a lot of times because you're like, what can we do? You know, I already have 115 kids, Pastor Josh Bigwood. Like, how do I adopt another kid into my family? Things like that. And so, like, we think that there's nothing that we can do because we can't adopt a kid into our family, but there's so many different avenues that you can help with foster care and in the adoption process, and whether it's helping out with legal fees or actually being a foster family, there's tons of things that you can do. But a lot of times we don't think that adoption affects us. We don't think that adoption affects us. Well, I'm here today to tell you that adoption affects every single person. Every single person. Every person under the sound of my voice, adoption affects you. And I'm not talking about just the kids that need homes in America. I'm talking about you. You're affected by adoption. If you are a believer in this church, you're affected by adoption. And if you're not a believer, you never made that commitment to God or to Christ, I'm going to tell you that adoption matters to you as well. And so I want to just talk about adoption and how it affects us. So if you guys have your Bibles, you can turn them on or open the app, or actually if you are old and physically, like Jennifer Dusa, open the Bible. You can physically open the Bible up. You can do that. If you don't have the strength in your arms because you're so attached to your phone to open the Bible, then open open up your app, and you can do that that way. It's still the same words. It's just not as holy. It's okay. And so I want to say, number one, aren't you glad that we live in a nation that we can have the Bible everywhere that we go? I mean, you should clap a little bit harder than that. I mean, seriously. There's a lot of things that the nation gets wrong, and you can say a lot of whatever you want to do, but at the end of the day, you can go to any store that you want to and purchase a Bible and bring it home, and you can bring it wherever you want to. You can own it on your phone, and I'm glad that I live in a place where the Bible is readily available. And if you don't have a Bible and you physically want a Bible, like a physical Bible with paper and words, I want you to come and find one of the prayer partners at the end of service and tell them, I want a Bible, and they will make it happen. We have Bibles here for you because it's so important that we live in this freedom, that we could give this to you. You can go home and put this inside your heart. And so if you want to open up your Bibles, you can. And we're going to go into the book of Ephesians. We're going to start in chapter 2. We're talking about adoption, and I titled this thing Adoption. It's the lavish grace of God, or they just put the grace of God. They didn't like my adjective in there, and so that's okay. The grace of God, that's what we'll call it. The grace of God. And so adoption is all about grace, and we're about to learn about it. But the first thing that we have to understand, we're going to read in Ephesians. Now, Ephesians is written by Paul. He is an apostle a long time ago, and he's writing to a church. He's writing to believers. He's writing to church members. He's writing to people who've already committed to Christ, okay? This isn't to the world. This is to believers. This is to people today in this church that have committed. This is what he says. He says, let's start in Ephesians 2. We're going to do 1 through 3. This is my son's Bible. It's glow in the dark because we only use NLT, and so that's glows in the dark in my house. So that's what we got. And so I don't have my Bible, but we will push it down a lot to make it open. Apparently, he doesn't read the Bible enough. It will not stay open. We'll talk to him later and correct that issue real fast. He's 9. He should really know him better than that. Okay. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is a spirit. By the way, sorry, I'm going to stop right there. You have to get used to my voice, by the way. I'm losing my voice, but I'm still talking. So by the end of this, if I sound just like a flock of geese coming in for a landing, I'm very sorry. Go with it. Just roll with it. Clap and applaud and nod and take notes. It doesn't, regardless. So I'm sorry if my voice is annoying you because it's annoying me. Back to this. Okay, so he says this. He says, all of us believers, all of us church, he's saying all of us, you church, all of us used to live that way, following passionate desires and inclinations to our sinful nature. By our very nature, we are subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. The first thing we have to understand about adoption, the first thing that makes adoption relatable to us is this. Number one, we have all been lost through our transgressions and our sins. We've all been lost. Every one of us have been lost. I think of my own personal testimony about adoption. I'm adopted. My wife has a testimony about adoption. It's completely different than mine, and I can only do mine. And so I'm not going to talk about hers because hers is better than mine, and I don't like that because she get up here and preach it better than me, but stay right there. It's okay. I got it today. You're tomorrow. You're at home in the kitchen. You preach to me. Don't you hate those sermons? And she's like, well, Pastor Tom, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you are right, but it says in the Bible to submit to your husband somewhere. I can't find it in your Bible. Where did it go? I blacked that out. It's gone. Anyway, moving on. So think about my own testimony. I'm born from a woman who did drugs and alcohol the whole time that she was pregnant with me. But for some reason, she decided to have this baby, which I am very thankful for. And so when I was born into a world where I was addicted to drugs right off the bat. And she left me. She took me home with her, and she left me in her apartment on the floor for weeks at a time and just didn't take care of me until the state came in and, you know, heard the baby crying and came and took the baby and put into foster care. I was born into a world that I had no choice in the matter. I was simply just born. I didn't want to be that way. I didn't want to be lonely. I didn't want to be left out. I didn't want to be hurt. I didn't want to be addicted to drugs, but I was born into this world. Then that was that's how it was. We, every one of us, are born that way into this world. You're born into a world and you're lost and you're lonely and you're disconnected from family and you're left alone and all these sinful nature things rise up inside of you, but you don't choose it. You're just born that way. You didn't decide to do that. It just happens to you. It wasn't your decision to bring sin into the world, but when we're born after the fact, it's just something that happens to us. And Paul is writing to the Ephesians, says every one of us are born just like this. Lost, left out, disconnected, and hurt. Every one of us. You look at those kids, and it moves your hearts, and you look in the world, and it moves your hearts, and all these, but you used to be that way. We were all lost. We were all lost. We're going to read Ephesians 1, 4 through 8, because we didn't stay lost. Even before he made the world, God loved us. You know, as we read the Bible, we kind of, as it's certain words, we just read over and over and over again, and certain concepts, you know, don't impact us. But what I just read should really change your life. Because of what I just said, a lot of people don't know. Not you, because you're blessed. You sit in a great, healthy church, and you have Bibles you can turn on your phones, and you can do these things. And you know this, but what I just read should really change your, it should impact you, it should sit in you, it should really resonate with you. It said that God loved us. God loves you. God loves us. Goes on to say that he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family, bringing us into himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So he praised God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us. You guys, the second thing you have to know is this. We have all been adopted by grace. We have all been adopted by grace. We are all born lost and in this world. We didn't want these things to happen, but we were born into a sinful nature and we were lost in a world. But God's grace came in contact with us. Because why? Because he loved us. And when he did that, we read this in Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. It says this, but God is so, it makes me emotional, and so I'm trying to cry. God is so rich in his mercy, and he loved us so much that even when we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and has seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all the future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all that he has done, who's united in Jesus Christ. This is so important. God saved us by his grace. When you believed in him. God loves us. And in that love, he pours out something on us called grace. And this grace does something amazing because it brings us into relationship with God. And for the first time in your whole entire existence, you now have an identity that you never had before. You now have a purpose that you never had before. You now have a vision and a dream that you've never had before. You now have a destiny that you've never had before, all because of a thing called grace. When you come in contact with grace, you find out who you really are. And I apply that to my own life. And when I was in the foster care for the years that I was in it, there's a family out there And though they were able to have children naturally, and though they, you know, life was really good for them, something happened inside of them where they're like, we need to extend this grace that we have in our family and go out there and adopt a child into our family. And they found the best looking, cutest kid they could. But he was already taken, so they got me. It's okay, I make a really good sad face. I want that puppy. And they come and they find me. And in their grace and in their love, they take this child who has issues, who has problems, who doesn't look like them, smell like them, act like them. And they bring this child into their family. And the cool thing happens when this happens, when you get adopted. This cool thing happens to you. As I was born to this one person, and the state issued me a birth certificate that said whatever she called me by name, and, you know, the mother was this, and the father is unknown. It said all these different things about me. But as soon as I was adopted, that piece of paper became null and void, and the name that they wrote, it says, on this day, February 8th, 1981, was born, and they put the name that they call me, Thomas Zachary. I say Barry. And his parents are Richard Barry and Pamela Barry. And the old thing that happened before, it doesn't even exist. This is the only thing that matters in the whole entire world. I can't go against it. My whole identity changes from what she used to call me to what they call me. And all of a sudden, in my life, because of this adoption process, I step into a relationship. I step into a family. I step into grace, and I'm absorbed into this family. Where no matter what you say, no matter what you do, there's something on a piece of paper that says my foundation of who I am, my identity in who I am, is what they called me, not who I was. And the same thing happens with you and with me when we come into contact with God's grace and we allow him to adopt us into his family. He rewrites your identity. He rewrites your birth certificate. You become a new creation. The old you is gone, and now you are a new you. And the name on top of it is exactly what he calls you, and not what the world calls you. And he's your father now. He's your father now. And with that fatherhood, there comes responsibility. He becomes responsible for your life, for your destiny, for your purpose. Because he's adopted you by grace into his family. Not as slaves and not as servants, but as sons and as daughters. He lavishes this grace upon us, he says, which means that he gives us more grace than we even needed in the beginning. He gives us excess amounts of it. You ever been lavish with anything before? When they say, hey, I'm going to get you like a watch. You're like, oh, cool, I need a watch, which I do. Just throwing it out there. You say, I'm going to buy you a watch. And instead of just getting you, like, you know, they go to Walmart and they buy the regular watches, which work just as fine as, you know, the other ones. They go and they do something lavish and they buy you the best watch they could possibly afford. It's lavish. And when you look at it, you're like, oh my gosh, I don't deserve this watch. I don't know how to tend to this watch. I don't even know what this watch is about. But they said, doesn't matter. You deserve it. I lavish this thing on you. God does that with his grace. He doesn't give you just the right amount. He doesn't say you need it in this area, in this area, in this area. He just throws it out there at you. Tons of it. He lavishes it on you. More than you can even imagine. And in that moment, you're like, I don't know. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, but it doesn't matter. This is what you received. And in receiving that, you get pulled into this relationship as sons and daughters of God. That's what all of us who have been saved, that are believers in Christ Jesus, that's what all of us have received in our lives. And if you've never received that today, you're going to have the opportunity to. That's what we've received, this lavish gift that brings us into relationship. The next thing that we need to understand about adoption and why adoption matters to you. And we're about to wrap up, so you guys, we're almost going to get out there to that beautiful weather. Just stick with me just a couple more minutes. Just a couple more minutes. As we read at the in Ephesians 11:2, he writes this thing. He says, don't forget that you Gentiles, don't forget that you used to be outsiders. The last thing we need to know about adoption, the last thing we need to know how it impacts your life is this. We all should extend grace to the world. We all should be extending this grace to the world. You know, after I got into the relationship with my father and my mother and I was adopted, number one, that's a very hard thing to understand unless you are adopted. Look, my little brother's like 6'5". My mom's like 5'11". They're like blonde hair, blue eyes. Like, I don't look anything. Like, who's your friend? Is this your gardener? Like, who's this guy? I'm like, oh no, that's my brother, you know? And when you look into the practical things, it's a hard identity thing for you, you know? You're like, man, I know that you've adopted me into your family. I know that on paper, you know, I get a benefit of this house, and my parents are very nice, and my parents gave me the best lifestyle they could, and it was nice. There's always something inside of me that was like, you know, what about old me? What about like me before? I want to find out who my mom was so I can have this, like, you know, I could relate to somebody. I have some questions that need to be answered. It's a tough relationship. As you get older, you kind of struggle with this thing and you do all these different things. And it's just, you know, I realized something that as I got older and, you know, I've met with my dad, and I never had a very healthy, we had like a very different relationship. But as I met with Pastor Todd, and he's, you know, forces me into a relationship with my father. And so I did. I was obedient. Every other week I would call him. That's all I could do. You know, I found something out. Man, I'm more like him than I am like whoever had me. Like, if I found the person that actually birthed me, I wouldn't have anything in common with them. They might have birthed me, but like, they didn't raise me up. They didn't teach me that my character isn't their character. And they might be great people, but I had to take an ownership of like, I gotta stop looking back at, you know, where I came from and start realizing like who I am. This is who I am. This is who I own. This is me. Even if I met this person, I'm not gonna change my identity because my identity is Thomas Zachary Barry. I'm nobody else. This is who I am. And we as Christians, we have to come to understand that. And we fight with God, we get into this relationship with God, and we keep on going back and looking at who we used to be, and we dwell on who we used to be and what we used to do, and all these different things, and what these people said about us before, and those things don't matter anymore because that's not who you are anymore. When you stepped into a relationship, God changed your identity, and the more that you go back, all you do is you frustrate yourself and that relationship, and you say, God, like, who am I? Like, what am I doing, and why am I doing this, and why would you save me, and I'm not good enough, and all these different things. But if you realize that your identity isn't who you used to be, it's in who you are now, you stand different. You speak different. You look different. And you can proudly say, yes, I'm adopted, but I'm adopted, and now they have ownership of this relationship. This is who I am. This grace has been lavished on me. And in all the gifts of the church that we preach about prosperity, and we preach about forgiveness, and we preach about all these things and healing and these things that are endless. We're like, his forgiveness is endless, and it's a gift of God. And his prosperity is a gift of God. And healing is endless, and it's a gift of God. But when it comes to the gift of grace, all of a sudden it becomes very limited. All of a sudden, we limit that one down. Oh, that gift of grace? Oh, that one's small. if they would change this and this and this about them, then they could receive the grace and step into this thing and do a, we look at this world and we take this grace. But listen to me, church. Listen to me, believers. As Paul was saying, like, you used to be that person. And when you were that person, God came and he lavished. He gave you way too much grace and he accepted you into this relationship. And if this church is ever going to be the hope of the world that it needs to be, if the church is ever going to be the hope of Christ, look, the world is doing what it does best. I say this all the time. The world does a great job at being the world. It sins, and it's broken, and it's hurting, and it's dying, and it's left out, and it's lost, and it's lonely, and it's seeking. It does a great job of being the world. It's not our job to be the world. It's our job to be the grace of God. It's our job to be that lavish grace that when we come in contact with someone who doesn't have that in their life and they don't have that relationship and they're serving into this world and they're that we adopt them into a family through the grace of God and we lavish this grace on them so that in that lavish reward, they find a relationship. And you know, grace in relationship looks different than grace outside the relationship. You know, in my own life, I got adopted and that was great. But like after a while, as I was growing up, you know, my dad told me, this is how you should do things and this is what you should do. And he corrected me and he disciplined me. And the grace that he had to adopt me never changed. It kept me in that family. But he, in that relationship, he was able to correct and to change and to form and to make me to who I need to be. So many times we have that just a little bit backwards in the church. So you say, hey, if you fix all these things and you do all this stuff, different stuff here, if your life looks a little bit different, and then you can come into this relationship. But that's not how it worked with you, and it's not how it works in general. It's this lavish grace. We say, I don't care what you're doing. It's not an acceptance thing. You don't have to accept them just because you're gracious to them. But you know that they're doing, they have bigger and better plans. And once they have this relationship, Then God and the Holy Spirit and you as church leaders and you as fellow brothers and sisters can come alongside them and guide and correct and change and form their life to look more like the new identity that they are. But it's only once they're in relationship. The thing is, we take all this Bible and we throw it at the world and we say, you don't fit into this. The thing is, it's not written for them, it's written for us. They're not in relationship yet. It means nothing to them. This only drives people away because it's not given to people in grace. And when you give it in grace and they walk into a relationship, all of a sudden the whole thing starts to change. And that big lavish gift in the beginning keeps them to God. But that grace starts to correct them and to purpose them. And all of a sudden they look back and they're like, I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not the person I used to be. Because we allow them to come into a relationship. Church, we have to be a grace-filled church that allows people to come into relationship with God so that he, not you and not me, but that he can form them to the way that he needs them to be. But what we do is we hoard the grace for ourselves. The grace I received is for me, and I'm going to hang on to it. If they were only a little bit different. And I'm not saying that we have to be a church that is, because there's different things in the world, and the world is scary and it's dark and it's, man, what if we walked in grace just a little bit more and we threw this lavish grace out there because God loves them. Because God loves them. Because at the end of the day, they may never see the face of God, but they're going to see your face. You're going to walk around with your "What Would Jesus Do" bracelets on, your fish on your cars, and your t-shirts that say that you're a Christian, your Facebook that says you're a Christian. But in the end, if that grace isn't attached to all of that, if you forget that you too were once that way, Paul writes on to the church in Corinth and he says, to the world, I have no right to judge the world. But to the believers in the church, I judge more harshly because they have the truth. Church, we need to be full of grace. Adoption is about grace. You know, it's one thing to see the physical numbers and know that there's over 400,000 kids in America alone that need families, physical families. But what about the 191 million people that don't know God, that need a spiritual family? Does that not pull on your heartstrings? Does that not pull you up? Does that not push you into it? Does it not push you into change? The world around us is dying, but we have something that they don't have, and it's that grace of God. So as we close, I want you guys to just bow your head and to close your eyes, and we're going to wrap up with prayer, and then Pastor Todd's to come up, and you guys are going to enjoy the rest of your day. But in this moment, I want you to stay focused and stay plugged in and listen to what I'm saying. There's three kind of people that I want to talk to. Number one, the first one is, I have never received that adoption. I've never bought into this relationship. I didn't know that this grace was so lavish that it would overcome me. I never believed in Christ Jesus, but I know that I need that grace, and I know that God is for real, and that Christ was his son, that he died on the cross for my sins and my transgressions so that I could walk into this grace and have this relationship with God. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Tom, I've never done that. I've never committed my life to God. I've never committed my life through Jesus Christ. And you're saying, I want to do that today. Today's the day I want to be different. And that's you. I want you to raise your hand right now. Excellent. Excellent. Put your hands down. The second group of people is you've accepted this lavish gift, and you found yourself to be saved, and you found Christ Jesus, but in this relationship with God, you keep on finding yourself going to the back to the old you, back to the old identity, trying to find things that you know that would help you and answer some questions and things like that. And it's a frustrating relationship that you have with God. You don't seem to ever be going anywhere. And I want to tell you this, that your identity is no longer who you used to be. You're no longer who you used to be. You say, Pastor Tom, I've been fighting in my relationship with God, and I've never gotten a clear threshold, like I've never crossed a threshold. I've never committed to this new identity 100%. But today, because I know that God loves me because of his lavish gift of grace, I would love just simple prayer. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I've been fighting against God. There's tons of people. Tons. Put your hands down. And the third group of people, this spoke to me so much as I was writing the message out. And I'm going to raise my own hand at the end of this thing. Is, man, we've accepted the lavish gift of God's grace into salvation, and we live in a new identity, and we're strong, and we're mature in our beliefs, and we know who God says that we are. But we hoard God's grace to ourselves, and we don't extend it to others. We hoard God's grace to ourselves, and we don't extend it to others. And the world walks by us every day and doesn't know the grace that God has for us. But today we want to change, and we want to be the guy and the girl and the woman and the man that exude the grace of God to the world so that we can draw them into relationship. If you say, Pastor Tom, I'm a person, I've been hoarding the grace of God, let's lift your hand. And that should be, it's me. It's me. That's me, hands down. Everyone, look at me. Just look at me. I know it's almost over. There's no magic prayer that I could pray that's going to get you in the right place. I just don't have that power. It has to be a commitment in your heart. And we're going to pray in general, and we're going to do this thing the way that we should. But I'm telling you, there is a real world out there. There's a real, you live in a body that has its own mind. And as soon as you go outside that door, the enemy is going to try to steal the very thing that you're trying to get secure right now. So in your heart, it's a prayer on the stage and it's a prayer in the seat, but it has to be an action in the world. It has to be a commitment in your heart. You got to really commit to this thing. And so I'm going to pray just a general prayer. There's going to be people over here in a little while that have been praying for you guys all week. Whether you've been coming here for 50 years, we haven't been open 50 years, that's a lie. You've been coming here for like 10 years, not even open 10 years. However long I've been open, that long, insert number there. Or this is your very first time that you found this church on accident. And you came in here. People have been praying for you. People have been praying for you. And that's weird. It is weird. But I know that your destiny is determined on your commitment and your heart. And sometimes we can't do it on our own. And we need to bind ourselves with someone else and let them pray with us. And forgiveness is for everybody and it comes from God. But healing for your things comes when you confess your sins one to another. Some of us, we've received that forgiveness, but we haven't received that healing. And that healing comes when you start to speak those things. You bind it up with the word of God. So I'm going to pray. Everyone just pray right where you are. I'm just going to pray in general prayer. And then you guys commit to the part that you need to commit to. Father God, I thank you for today. Lord, this is a great day. It's such a beautiful day, Father God. You're such a great and glorious and gracious God. Lord, I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, Father God. And we believe in our hearts that he is the Son of God, born on this earth, lived, died and rose again, lives in heaven, Father God. We accept him as Savior of our life. We accept that gift of grace in our life that we may step and enter into a relationship with you, Father God. We no longer have to be fatherless. We have a new Father. Father God, I ask that you speak through the power of your Spirit to the people, Father God, and give them a confidence in their new identity and their truth of who they are. Give them peace and grace, and vision and mission. And Father God, to people like me, man, I study your word and I put it in my heart and I do a great job on Sundays and Wednesdays, but God, I hoard that grace inside of me. When I see a world, I don't exude that grace. And Father God, that gift that you've lavished on me, Father God, I ask that I lavish on other people. Bring it to my remembrance. Father God, direct and to guide me, Father God, so this world will know the grace that you have for us, for them. That grace is lavish, God. And that grace leads to relationship. Lord, I thank you for today. I call all these things done and secure in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. All right, Pastor Tuck, come on up.